Hello.
And welcome
to Foire.
Oh yeah, we got the sweet sounds from Under Rock playing all night long.
We sound like the what is it? The like brought to you by this speaker company at the
THX?
THX, yeah.
I was gonna say something closer to the
speaker company.
What are they called? The monks? The singing monks?
Throat singing?
Oh, yeah.
No, what's the name of them?
The singing monks?
Yeah,
they do. They do.
One of them's Bill. The other guy is
Bill's
Chang.
A cool dude.
Bill's the crazy monk who doesn't shave his head and
he's crazy.
He doesn't follow the rules, like he doesn't wear a belt and he's crazy. No, what is the name of them?
I have no idea.
They sing like popular songs.
Oh, I'm thinking of someone completely different than you are.
Have they sang Lady Gaga's Poker Face?
Probably.
Could you imagine monks singing that? That'd be great.
Wait, monk, as in like Tony Shalhoub?
Guys, it's the Gregorian monks, okay? Come on.
Oh my gosh. That's really yummy.
Wait, hold on.
I'm Ryan.
I'm James.
I'm Steven.
I'm Michael.
What's really yummy, Steven?
So our friend Taylor brought these spice pumpkin muffins. And I just had made room after like our second Thanksgiving.
Meaning he went to the restroom.
No, like it's digested. I'm going to have to go like right after this.
Meaning he evacuated his body.
I voided my bowels.
Yeah, there you go. We had, we promised that we would do it last week, and hey, for once we actually followed through with our promises.
Wait. Do we have a reputation of not following up on
actually,
our word?
I think we pretty much always follow up on our promises, because the only promises we make is that we're going
to
watch a movie next week.
Yeah.
And we have
gone
done
a couple
that
weeks
time.
Before without doing it. So,
shh, but no we don't change the movie that we're going to watch or anything.
That's true. Despite temptation at some point.
A lot like the character in this movie. It might take us a while to do it, but we'll do it.
So I'm not going to lie. I picked Sergeant Bilko as my pick this week.
He did not lie.
I did not lie. Based on.
Wait, hold on. Question.
What's up?
Can you lie if you're admitting that you like big butts?
I don't think you can.
You cannot
I think
lie.
You cannot lie, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's actually a law that recently
got
passed.
Can you other brothers
I can't
deny?
I cannot deny.
Nah,
I
can't.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Go on.
So I saw this movie probably over 20 times when I was a kid.
I thought you were going to say over 20 years ago.
Over 20 times.
That math doesn't add up.
It's 1996, so it almost adds up.
Ryan is 14.
Remember, I skipped the
90s. You skipped the 90s. The math adds up even less now.
he's 13.
Or maybe you lived in the 80s, and I don't know.
And then I skipped the 90s, yeah.
Yeah. You just time capsuled.
He's like every movie where someone gets frozen for an extended period of time and then comes out and has like culture shock.
Like Austin Powers. Mind meld.
Would you have that much culture shock from 1989 to 2000?
Yeah. I would say.
Not
Although
too
he adapts
the internet.
To it rather quickly.
A very primitive internet.
You would have AIM on a dial-up internet when you come out of the like into the year 2000 from the 80s, and you wouldn't know what to do with yourself, so you would just block everyone.
But that's stuff you would have seen in movies in the late 80s.
Like War Games?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen War Games.
I haven't seen War Games either.
Me neither.
Wow.
Hey, has Steven seen it?
I'm the one who brings it up. I haven't seen it.
My uncle is in the Air Force. He used to work in the room that the War Games is supposed to take place in.
Not where they shot it.
Obviously, they used it too. But like the room or whatever. That location's based on. He used to work in there. He has some pretty funny stories where someone found a red phone in the like a drawer, and I think they picked it up, and then they're like, oh geez, immediately put it back down. And he never told me what was on the other line.
Oh my gosh.
I don't mean to go off the rails on this crazy train, but oh my god, this pumpkin spice muffin is legit.
Oh man, you took the Lord's name in vain. We're gonna have to bleep that out, Michael.
You also referenced Ozzy Osbourne. Nice.
We're gonna have to bleep that out too. We're not allowed to.
Well, that's the Lord he was talking about.
Again, I think I'm just going to turn Michael's mic off, and there we go. I'm sorry. We were talking about our second Thanksgiving. which is by far the most cooking I've done in a long time, if not ever.
Same here.
Ditto. We, you know, Michael brought us the turkey from his work, which was very kind of him.
You make it sound like I stole a turkey from work.
You didn't?
No.
I actually didn't at all. I don't know why you inferred that.
He brought the turkey from his work. Like, I don't know. To me, it just sounded like I made out like a bandit.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Okay. All right. Yeah. No, whatever you say.
No, but I've never cooked a turkey before. I've always kind of left that to my parents to do.
We need to pat ourselves on the back.
You know, here, let's get into the mics nice and deep here.
Why don't we all just reach to our left and pat that person on the back?
I don't deserve a back pat. I didn't.
Michael,
really
why did you choose left? Why do you want me to pat you on the back?
Or why don't you want? Why doesn't he want to pat right?
Because this entire podcast was just a clever ruse for me to get your approval.
Just for the one bat pack.
Yes, I did.
Backpack?
Backpack. It's the one bat pack.
Yeah, I would love it if you gave me a backpack. That's all I've ever wanted.
The pack of approval.
Yeah, but the turkey came out pretty amazing. We did a good job on that.
Everything was delicious.
It was like we were in surgery, you know, because we were like, oh, man, this turkey's looking a little dry. We got to
give me some tinfoil.
Get some chicken broth, quick. Chicken broth and tinfoil, stat.
And I was like, I already got the chicken broth, right.
I thought even like from the early prep stages where it was just Ryan and I in the kitchen, like
I was asleep.
The way we were like managing our space, like we were both doing our thing and like maneuvering out of one another's way in perfect synchronicity.
It was like a dance.
It was like a very delicate dance.
Or ice skating or something.
Or synchronized basting?
Or Ukrainian gymnastics.
So yeah, the turkey was kind of a collaborative effort. I buttered the thing. Steven seasoned it.
Michael provided it.
Michael provided it. I cut
it. Basted it.
Yes, we all took turns basting it.
Except for James.
Except for James.
I love it when you talk dirty to me.
Whoa.
And then Steven made us a green bean casserole, which I have yet to try.
Yes.
And I have yet to try. And I probably won't.
Probably won't. I'm personally offended.
You know, I actually do want to try it.
It's the green bean? It's delicious.
It looks pretty great.
It's fantastic. Regular green bean casserole is like three ingredients. I'm like, that's so lame. Like, there's so much you can... I almost always add to casserole recipes. I'm like, that's it? Just three things? It's pretty good.
Tried and true.
I thought you were going to say like Trident tuna.
Trident true.
Trident tuna. No, that's not it.
Yeah. That's
Trident tuna casserole for the
Rick, where did you get a Trident? spoiler alert, we watched Anchorman. Nothing to do with this podcast, but we did watch that earlier today.
Michael made some mashed potatoes. I made some sweet potatoes.
Sweet, man.
I forgot to break out the Christmas candy. We're going to have to do that after this.
That'll be our post-podcast celebration.
We did it.
But yeah, it was kind of a beautiful thing. All of us kind of crammed into this little kitchen.
Yeah, this kitchen isn't designed for big holidays.
It's really not, no.
But we made it work.
We did.
We had videos and pictures to prove it,
too.
We
used virtually every single dish and utensil at our disposal.
We used every serving utensil while cooking to the point where it came time to serve the food. We had nothing. We had like nothing to scoop out the gravy. And
oh, we did not mention that we threw bacon on our turkey.
We did.
It was impressive.
It was, yeah.
And now it's been mentioned. No, it was pretty good. It was good.
Yeah, we had some little personal flares.
Everybody adds their own twist on everything.
It was nice.
Except
for James.
Hey, I brought pie.
To be fair, James also brought the fresh green beans, not canned green beans, that are the secret, one of the secrets to the green bean casserole.
Yeah, I saw you hand cutting those fresh looking
green
beans.
They come out much better, much crunchier. Because if you eat normal green bean casserole with canned green beans, it's like mush. It's
pretty soggy mush. Yeah.
Okay. I want some texture in there. Should we rate our Thanksgiving 2.4?
Yeah, let's start with Michael. Go for it.
Well, this is graded on a curve considering we did it ourselves and it was our first attempt at
it. Let's hurry it along. We don't need to actually spend too much time on rating Thanksgiving.
I'm going to give it an A-.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for my friends. The ones that don't rush me.
I guess I'll go next. I can't think of a way to really improve, unless that would be like having a bigger kitchen with more utensils, which is we don't have that, so I'll give it an A.
Well, okay.
I'm going to give it an A plus because it was all delicious and I had a blast eating it.
I feel like you're just pandering because you didn't cook anything.
Trust me, if I had cooked it, it would have gotten a B minus.
I'm going to give it an A minus because I thought it was delicious, but I do think that if we were to do it again next week, it would be better and more efficient.
Yeah, so. We learned some stuff. Yeah.
Well, I also think we did learn the origin of Second Thanksgiving, that people don't know that the pilgrims actually did. They were like, hey, remember that thing we did a couple weeks ago? Let's do it again. It was good. And they're like, maybe it should be like
it's really an under-celebrated and underrated holiday. Yes.
Yeah.
Second Thanksgiving.
Well, people just assume the pilgrims didn't do it, like they didn't have the supplies or whatever. And mm-hmm. They totally
They ran would've. Out of utensils from the week before.
Yeah.
Surprisingly easy to kill turkeys.
Yeah, yeah. And American gluttony was celebrated even very early on in our country's history.
But all right. Moving on.
All right, guys. So as I was saying before, I saw this many times when I was but a wee lad. And back then, to me, it was the greatest movie ever made. And I know that's part of the purpose of this podcast is not only introducing new movies, but revisiting old movies that we might have seen a long time ago. I was still kind of worried. After I made the pick last week, I went on Rotten Tomatoes and saw the score for this movie.
What is it?
And I did too.
Oh, come on. You're not supposed to do
that's
that.
That's why I didn't want you to look it up, Michael. So thank you for that.
Oh, I did it after the movie.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you should probably wait till after the podcast. You don't want that to influence your score.
It won't. My score is very incomplete anyways.
As you were saying, Ryan.
Anyway, I briefly considered, you know, in a panic, trying to change my pick for the week, but I decided against it. Because
we made a promise.
I wanted to revisit it and draw new conclusions in my mind and see what you guys think as a new audience. So yeah, what'd you guys think?
It was very funny. I was laughing out loud a ton of times. It was great to watch. Oh geez, I'm already forgetting the characters' names.
Bilko.
Bilko. Sergeant yeah. Bilko. I was gonna mix those letters up. Bilko was hilarious to watch in just every scene. I love seeing how he's gonna get out of every situation. If you don't know, Bilko is a commander?
What's sergeant. It? Sergeant. He's a sergeant Bilko. Sergeant Bilko is the name Bilko. Of the movie.
And I'm the one who didn't fall asleep. Sergeant Bilko is in the army. He's got his trainees, and he's a horrible sergeant. He's always gambling. He's always getting all these parties and making sure that his recruits pretty much don't do anything the army asks him to.
He straight up says his goal is to run the largest illegal gambling racket in U.S. Army history. And so it's not like it's not like he has a moral high ground about it. He's very much, I'm just going to do this. Yeah. This is my thing.
I'm going to do me.
But it's hilarious. You know, obviously the army doesn't want that and they're trying to investigate around that. And it's so funny to watch how he gets out of all these accusations, mm-hmm. especially at the end. Extremely, extremely funny.
Yeah, he has this Major Thorne who has a personal vendetta against him.
Who's a major thorn in his side. You know, sometimes magic just happens.
That's going to do it for this week's podcast.
There's no way we can top that.
James and I have been trying to mind meld all day, and we just did it.
Finally.
That's a Bon Jovi song.
I think we just took him out off of his.
That was truly special.
One thing I did think was pretty amazing about this movie was the cast, of course.
Yeah.
Led by the immaculate Steve Martin, who was just.
The illustrious.
The moment I saw his name in the credits, I knew I was in for a good movie because mm-hmm. he's always hilarious. And he makes everyone around him funny, too. So I was kind of worried at first because I'd never heard about the movie. And I was like, what am I watching? Is this going to be an army. Boring army movie. Nope, Steve Martin's name right there on screen. Okay, this will be good.
I really enjoyed it. I also enjoy just being able to watch Steve Martin in general.
He's a sergeant, not a general.
Of course.
I made the same mistake.
Sorry. I also a surprise appearance by a very young Chris Rock,
mm-hmm.
which
I would have loved to see more of.
I would have loved to see more of too. But he wasn't really playing Chris Rock, he was just playing this nerdy
guy. Before he found out who Chris Rock really was. Yeah. And so he was just playing a role.
But yeah, aside from that, I mean, it was I thought it was just a very quirky, funny movie. Ryan, I mentioned to you that halfway through the movie, I was like, is this going to be like Animal House? Because it's sort of the same plot line.
I hadn't even made the connection before, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Where it's like this ragtag bunch of platoon mates.
Slackers even,
have to kind of... You know, it's not even like they're actually trying to improve. They're just like
trying to fake it.
They're
long
just
enough.
Staying one step ahead of their superiors. And I thought that it stretched it a little bit, but at times it could be pretty clever how they got around stuff.
James, I'd like to give you 3 points for that connection. Who's keeping track of points this week? Oh, I will do it.
Ryan is.
I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I will do it.
I believe in you.
In a thing called love.
I was thinking that. I should have done the mind
melding. I'm mind melding with everybody today.
Ryan's next. Yeah. What's Ryan thinking?
I think ours is a little bit more
Ryan's
intimate.
Thinking 10 more points to James.
James,
I really wasn't.
You're losing your touch. I just wanted to talk about one of my favorite parts in this movie. There's a couple of surprise inspections, and when a surprise inspection happens in the camp, there's a kind of a coded cue for everybody to clean everything up for the inspection.
They play Chuck Berry,
and everybody knows, okay, hide the liquor, hide the gambling, make everything
hide
look
kids, hide your kids, wife.
Hide your wife, hide a horse. They hide a horse.
They didn't do a great job.
But it's so funny watching, like, everybody that Sergeant Bilko is in charge of knows how to make fast excuses. And at one point there's a barracks inspection and they switch the signs to where Bilko's, kids are in someone else's barracks who obviously take care of their stuff. So the inspection's just not adding up. And Thorne opens up a closet and finds a woman's bra in high heels and asks a woman's bra. Well,
how absurd.
And asks the guy, one of Bilko's guys, is this yours? And just boom, right off the bat, it is my understanding that you are not allowed to ask me those questions, sir.
I think that's kind of the character's peak in the whole movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of a flat character otherwise, but that was a pretty great moment.
Yeah, agreed. But there were a lot of really good laugh out loud moments in this movie. I'll ask you, I guess, out of curiosity, what the Rotten Tomatoes score is, but do you want to hold it until after the podcast, after the rating?
It's something in the 20s, I guess.
Oof, yeah. Man, really?
32.
What? 32. I am surprised because I would think that it would hold up better.
I kind of wish you, that's already changing my score. I wish you hadn't told me that.
No,
I'm
see,
sorry, it's all my your fault. Score?
See, I would have, you know, I was kind of freaking out like you are now, but after watching that movie, I really... You know, it didn't hold up to what 12-year-old me thought it was, but I still thought it, you know, it definitely had a really great cast and a lot of really funny moments. So
to me, it reeked of 90s comedy.
It reminded me of 80s comedy.
And well, it was 96.
No, I know, but like it was like an 80s movie made in the 90s to me.
To me, it felt super 90s. And
I can definitely equate it to the Murray 80s comedy Stripes kind of thing, you know, where it's this ensemble cast with the definitive leader who's kind of driving the comedy. The story is very much secondary or tertiary to the antics of this main character and his personality.
And that's probably what held the movie back, since we mentioned a low run to a low score. Just because I noticed that there wasn't, outside of Bilko, much character development, and even his character development is very small. He's still the same cheating trickster guy at the end.
One thing I didn't even think about too much when I was that young was just how he is kind of a scumbag to this woman.
Oh, yeah.
To me, even even though they were getting married, it seemed like they were barely in a relationship before that. They hardly ever see each other throughout the entire movie.
And
except,
when they do,
except when they're getting married, yeah. or the one date that they go on,
which know? He ditches her for.
Yeah, exactly.
and Thorne is trying to make it look like he ditched her, but he kind of already ditched her before Thorne came in the picture. Yeah.
I think Thorne was the tragic hero.
Yeah, you think?
Because when you think about it, he didn't really do anything wrong before he was sent off to Greenland the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, that's understandable. I'd be pissed off, too.
Yeah, sure.
For, like, what, 9 years or something?
Something crazy like that. And also, I was a little confused. Like, clearly, by the end of it, I was like, okay, this movie's about Steve Martin. But the movie starts with the new, what's the new recruit's name?
Like Wally.
Wally starts mm-hmm. with Wally.
I kind of wish that there had been more focus on him throughout
yeah,
the movie.
Because like for the first third or half, you see a lot of it through his eyes. Like, wow, this is the worst camp I've ever been on. And then it switches completely to Bilko. And then it kind of like cuts back to Wally in the wedding with the girl. And then later like, hey, I fixed your car like you asked me to at the beginning of the movie, even though I wasn't supposed to.
I mean, I think the reason for that switch is because he started off as like the straight man in a world full of like everyone else is an absurd character, and then he kind of became one of the guys, and so they just focus on Bilko from that point on.
To me, the end where he's turning back the odometer is kind of a sign that this is a fairly regular occurrence in the motor pool, mm-hmm. where these new recruits will come in and be straight edge, mm-hmm. but then they will be converted into the cult of Bilko eventually.
Yeah.
This is kind of a repeating cycle. Mm. One other thing that I didn't realize when I saw this movie at a younger age was the Rita character. I don't know who plays her, but Bilko's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How, to me, I always thought that she was being manipulated by Thorne into, you know, breaking up with Bilko and... Mm-hmm. Breaking his heart and all that stuff. But to me, it seemed like when I watched it this time, she was more playing it as
yeah.
she was kind of manipulating Thorne
yeah.
into manipulating Bilko.
Yeah, yeah, she was definitely using him to grab They're Bilko's
perfect
attention.
Perfect for each other.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to
Who
say.
Who is?
Not Thorne.
Not Thorne.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, the other... Her and the other guy.
Oh, her and...
Wally?
Yeah.
Wally, they were perfect.
Wait,
for
Wally was
other.
The guy with the white hair, right?
No, the robot.
Bicklo. Bicklo.
No, don't say that. Now that's all I'm going to say for the rest of it. So Sergeant Bicklo. No, Steven.
Major Bicklo. Bicklo. Major Bicklo.
What's the real name? Bilko?
Major Bicklo.
No, stop it. I'm looking this up.
It's Major Bicklo. Steven, I'm serious. It's Major Bicklo.
So confused. I'm so confused right now.
Major Bicklo.
Stop saying it like that.
Okay, it's Sergeant Bicklo.
Dang it. That's still not what I was confused about.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of, like I said, I kind of do wish that Wally was a little bit more focused throughout the... it seems like he kind of got lost in the second act and then kind of resurfaced again. Which that's not so much as an arc as it is a dive and then a resurfacing.
Yeah.
A breaching, if you will, like a beautiful orca.
You know, for all of his strict attention to the rules and regulations, he still does kind of go along for the ride a little bit.
Pretty early
obey.
On, yeah. too.
He has like, to obey his commanding
yeah,
officer.
That's true. Yeah, that's...
but only if it's written.
See, James, what you don't realize, there's this internal conflict going on inside Wally. How he is subject to the rules and regulations of the army, but he also has to obey the orders of his commanding officer.
Also, I feel like there's a struggle for individualism.
Mm-hmm. Individualism.
What you said.
But of course, Sergeant Bicklo gets his, you know, gets his way in the end. As
why did you look at me just there? You stop it. I'm looking this up.
No, I've got to say, I thought it was cool that they gave Wally his own spinoff like 12 years later by Pixar.
Yeah.
Can we have...
I don't
guys,
think that
guys,
was a better movie.
Can we have a moment of silence for Michael's joke, please? Just
rest in peace.
All right.
And we're back.
It's a It's real sad to see him go like that. You know?
So young.
Michael, you've been pretty quiet so far. Why don't you tell us...
Hey, give us a synopsis of the entire movie, Michael.
Tell us why you didn't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
Tell us why you liked it then.
I thought it was enjoyable. It had plenty of a... I don't know. When I said it reeked of a 90s movie, I meant that in a good way, because to me the 90s was my personal favorite era of comedies.
Yeah, you don't really see comedies like this anymore.
There's a connotation to the word reek, you understand. That's kind of...
It stank.
Right, it stank. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. It had that 90s stank, and I love it. I wanted to rub my face in
Sergeant,
it.
Sergeant Bicklow, the ultimate 80s comedy.
That's true, though. You don't see comedies like this made anymore, and I'm really kind of saddened about that. It's kind of like, maybe not... I mean, it's definitely up there, but it's not quite as balls to the wall as, say, the Naked Gun series or Airplane.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's still pretty damn wacky.
Well, I mean, I think a big part of it is we've kind of seen a shift, and I would go so far as to say that Zoolander is probably one of the last comedies to kind of follow that, what I'm calling like the 90s format, even though that movie was like 01. But like once you got to Anchorman... You had essentially movies that were all about improvisers doing their best to make the others in the like in their cast try and laugh on set, and there's a lot of like, I don't know, the scripts aren't as on point, where in 90s you can just tell everything is written and it's meant to be that way, and this felt very scripted in a good, I mean obviously it was, but in a good way, like nothing, the flow is there.
All of those actors were probably sick and tired of those jokes, you know.
Oh yeah,
that's well. No, I'm saying
because they've been doing them.
You know,
the
it's,
same
yeah, it's fresh to the audience, but they're not improvising. They are following the script.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, while it might get boring to them, it's for the sake of making a more well-crafted movie.
Yeah,
yeah. That's kind of what you're getting at, I
think. Yeah. And so yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I thought the ending was. Ambitious. They seem to go for it. They did some bigger stuff, like with the whole tank test, like the referencing the thing earlier in the movie where it didn't go well. And I thought it worked.
So, yeah, I thought also visual comedy plays a much larger component. Mm-hmm. Is a much larger component in this movie than you would find in. A 2000s movie.
Right. There's just like set pieces that you would never, that would just be completely out of place today.
Yeah.
I kind of want a resurgence of movies like this, mm-hmm. actually. I think that it's time.
I don't know if there's a market for it, but there probably, I don't know, there could be, and it's just not being satisfied right now.
Guys, I think we got to write it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I think kind of the ultimate example and kind of one of the highlights, the standout scenes of the movie, is the first time you hear Chuck Berry come on and they pack away the entire casino.
Oh, I'd like to... Oh, please.
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say a really great soundtrack, too. Like, pretty much every time there's a song played, I was just like...
Yeah,
oh,
James especially was really excited about that.
Thinking, Chuck Berry and, it was actually, and SRV and...
And it was actually...
ZZ Top?
It was actually when I was listening to music at work the week before, and that song... Riding Along in My Automobile came on, and I thought immediately Sergeant Bilko. I just associate that song in this movie so tightly, and then that kind of stuck in my mind.
With No Particular Place to Go.
Actually, that's the name of the song, I think. No Particular Place to Go. Mm.
Do we have any other points that we would like to hit on?
I just agree. I wish that kind of, it's not exactly slapstick, but visual humor would come back. Because sometimes I see slapstick... People try to do that, and they say, "Hey, the guy fell over. It's funny. Laugh." And that's not what this movie is. It's really well.
That's kind of what the Sandler formula that's, you might call it.
It's not to say that you don't see great visual humor anymore. It's just that like you don't see a horse hanging from the ceiling, rafters above a platoon. You just don't see that sort of stuff anymore.
And you know why that joke works? Because they like specifically the horse one is because they kind of gave you. Enough time to almost forget about the horse. You see them hide everything else. Then right about the time you're thinking, wait, what did they do with the horse? It cuts to a wide shot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even draw attention to itself. They let you, the audience, look around the frame and look up and up. There it is. So
what is that on the ground? That's horseshit.
Yeah.
Keeps the flies off the food.
Steven, I want to give you 2 points. That was a very good point.
Horses. That horse is probably still up there.
Yeah, I can't think of any other points I wanted to go over. Do you guys just want to rate this thing?
I'm down to rate it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
James, I want to start with you.
Okay, let's see. A thoroughly enjoyable movie throughout. While it's clear that Bilko is a little bit of a scumbag, it's always fun to watch a rascal get away with it. A really solid soundtrack, in my opinion, and pretty awesome performances along with some pretty punchy dialogue, too, and visual set pieces. I'm going to have to give Sergeant Bilko a... I'll give it a B.
Very nice. Steven?
I'll go next, yeah. Extremely funny movie. I know I had some negatives about it with like not really having character development and not being super clear on the protagonist throughout the entire movie. But it's a comedy, and it made me laugh more than most others do. It played to its strengths. And as far as laughing goes, I can't think of any weaknesses, any moments in there that made me think, don't laugh at that. That's not... Yeah, they did that wrong. I never thought that. So I'm going to give it a B+.
I need to rewatch this movie, because in full disclosure, I've been awake for quite a while now, and I drifted off a little. But of about, I'd say I probably saw about 2/3 of the movie, and it was an enjoyable experience. Nothing rubbed me the wrong way. So based on what I've seen, I'm going to go with a B-.
Okay. You know, I just... Michael, I actually want to give you some points for your earlier point. Say 5.
Sweet.
Because I do, you know, now that you have brought it up, the more modern comedy is a much more loosely based affair. And I do kind of miss the more structured movie, more structured scripted comedy. And not only, this movie wasn't only solid in terms of script as a foundation. I thought it was, you know, very well put together. It has a kind of rhythm to it that only movies from my childhood do. You know, like I can tell you exactly when individual sound cues will come in, that sort of thing. And it's all the tiniest details, the smallest visual gags are all very clear in my mind. And I just there's a lot of detail to it. And I think it's very well made, if anything. And I'm going to give it a B as well.
Before I give out the final rating, I do want to comment on some of like the visual transitions, like the screen wipes and stuff were a little absurd.
That was kind of...
There's a moment where everything's blowing up, and then there's like a circle out wipe that looks kind of like an explosion, and it happens right on someone's face. I was like, wait, what? Did they just...
It was weird.
One of my things going along with these examples is he's practicing his swing.
Yes.
His golf swing.
Oh.
And they and Thorn like up. The first time that Thorn and him reunite, I think, he shouts out, "Sergeant Bilko," and then he throws the club, and you hear that it's like, whoosh, so like glass shattering. And then it cuts to the opposing angle, and you see that there's clearly no glass anywhere in front of him.
There's no reason that glass would have broken in that situation.
Unless there are guys just walking by with a pane of glass, but I think that's stretching.
It's like the overused metal trash cans and like a cat meowing.
When something gets
it's the same noise and everything.
You always hear the same like children playing sound effects, you know, like that
kind of the same wind. That always bugs me when people use stock wind.
Oh, I have those stock files. Like I can pull up those stock laughs and everything. It's hilarious.
Do you have the Wilhelm scream?
No.
Damn.
Well, I can get it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
everywhere. Pretty easy to find. Yeah.
And one last thing I want to say about this movie, kind of. It is very, very similar to another movie of mine that I actually thought about last night making a future pick before seeing this and realizing just how similar they are. Have any of you seen the movie Heavyweights?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
No.
No? Okay. Well, it's an enjoyable affair that will be a future pick of mine down the road.
Okay.
But, yeah, very, very similar. It's a very early Ben Stiller movie. Right. And our final rating for this, if you guys are just terrible at math, a B minus and a B plus average out perfectly to a B.
I was
I got it right. I'm back on track.
Says the man who went fourth.
Okay.
As the man who went first.
That's Ryan's secret. He's always like, all right, where's everyone going?
James, let's start with you.
What's the current average?
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Stick with it.
I came up with that rating at the beginning of the podcast and I did not change it. So
Yeah.
Take that, Michael.
And take that, Rotten Tomatoes.
And
take this challenge, you guys, because it's time for the
challenge.
This week's challenge. We were waiting on Michael there. I'm not sure what he was doing.
I think he was going to go with an air horn.
I was waiting for an elephant screech, actually.
Was it going to be...
No, I was actually going to throw on a song by Jesse Dangerously called Pumpkin Spice Swag.
Well,
given all this pumpkin spice.
It's much too late for that
in our life.
This week's challenge, you know... we still can't hear anything.
Let's just move on with it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that is a pumpkin.
With boobies.
For this week's challenge, I wanted to... It's sort of a throwback to one of our classic episodes, I think. One of our all-time classics.
Pulling it out of the vault.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at the major thorn in my side thing.
Thorn in my side. You just won't quit.
He was a major thorn in Sergeant Bicklow's side, indeed. Yes.
Once in a while, I want to crack a smile. You shove my still face has in it.
It's like, it doesn't matter what I say. It's going to go back to Bon Jovi.
Hey, it's just that.
Back to Bon Jovi.
When we were beautiful.
Okay, go.
So, Steven, this is a throwback to your very first challenge, if you will recall. We had sort of a fun little role-playing game. We did.
Was this the Power Rangers?
It was based on Power Rangers. It's based on Power Rangers.
Should I get the Morphers?
No.
I'll be right back.
Nope. Hang. Nope. All right. Steven.
It's Morphin time! Tyrannosaurus!
How many points?
I thought we could do
minus
one.
Okay, I'm sorry. Triceratops! Better?
You're shooting yourself in the foot.
Quick recap here. James, going into the challenge, James has 3, Steven has 1, Michael has 5. So good luck to you, Steven and James. I thought we could do something similar this time, sort of in the Army Now sort of scenario.
Got it.
We will have Steven playing the commanding officer who is fast and loose with the rules.
Hey.
And we will have James as the new recruit who is straight-edged and is a stickler for the rules. And we'll have Michael as the rival with a vendetta against Steven, who comes in for an inspection.
Okay.
Do you guys have your characters in mind?
I think I can, yeah.
Mine will be Colonel Refrigerator.
I like it.
Yeah. I like that too. I'd give you a point for that if I could.
It'd be Private Dangles.
We have Colonel Refrigerator. Private Dangles and Sergeant Bicklow.
but does it? Does your Private Dangles?
We'll find
that
out.
That is a very sore Hang on, spot
save
for
it,
me.
Save it for the scene, okay? You guys ready to go?
What's Steven's character's name?
I'm just Bill Bicklow.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're just Bicklow. All right, guys. I will be tallying points in real time. So whenever you are ready, commence.
Oh, I'm sorry. One second. Is anything? Is there
a scenario?
I gave you guys a prompt
a goal,
to start.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes. The the rival is coming in for an inspection of the barracks, and you have to cover up.
And have I met?
Yes, he has been here for a couple of days.
Okay.
Bicklow.
Hey. Oh, whoa, whoa. Hey, hey, you're looking good, Mr. Sergeant Refrigerator.
Colonel Refrigerator.
Colonel Refrigerator. Yeah, looking cool.
Stand at attention.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Who are you?
Private Dangles, reporting for duty, sir.
Private Dangles?
Yes.
What kind of name was that, son?
It's Danish.
Does your private dangles?
I don't think you can ask him that question, man.
Bicklow!
Yes, sir.
I was under the impression that you weren't allowed to ask me anything.
That's good, that's good.
I'm not allowed to ask you anything?
He's not.
No.
We do not have a zero questions policy here in the Army. You respond to what I ask you, piece of crap.
Whoa. Hey, man, come on.
Could
you
repeat the question, Colonel, sir?
Does your private dangles?
Ah, come on, man. Look, it's like he's been here like 3 days.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, sir. It dangles past my knees, sir.
You did not have to answer that, dude. You just come on. Okay, look. What do you want? I mean, yes, sir. What are you here for, sir?
Bicklow, I'm here for an inspection of this cabin.
Yeah. Can you come back in like 30 minutes?
Sure. Wait. No.
Ah.
No. No. I see what you're doing there.
I thought you had him for a second, sir.
Thank you.
No, I want to see, show me your bunk area, Bicklow.
Okay, I don't seem to have my keys. Let me just...
Sir, here are your keys, sir.
Very good, Dangles.
Thank you, Private Dangles. All right. Here it is. That's the room.
Is that a dildo? Is that a dildo, Bicklow?
I don't know what one of those would look like, sir.
I was under the impression that you weren't allowed to ask any more questions, sir.
Yes, yeah, just keep saying that.
Is that a...
You're the inspector. You tell me.
I don't want to touch it.
Okay. Well, I guess we won't know it for looks, sure.
Permission then. To speak freely,
it looks
sir.
Very
dude, you
used.
Can just talk whenever you want.
Nobody's asking you to pick up the dildo. I mean, the thing.
Do you confirm that the aforementioned object
why,
is a dildo?
Why did you say dildo?
The
private.
The aforementioned...
I meant... Shit.
Why would that be here?
The latrine is back
up. It keeps the fly keeps the flies away from the food.
Bicklow, I want this contraband burned and not
you could
ever...
just throw it away.
No, yeah. That's not good enough. I want this thing incinerated. Have Dangles do it.
Why do I have... I
Dangles,
mean,
you
sir,
heard the man.
Yes, sir.
You heard the man.
Because you're the private.
I see what you did. Do you have any gloves?
You can use,
Sergeant?
You can use your jacket and then just throw that in the fire, too.
My dead father gave me this jacket.
It's
I don't want to use
Army.
This jacket.
We can get more dead father's jackets.
All right. Oh, God. Why is it sticky?
And it's still vibrating.
Oh,
I mean, it doesn't vibrate, sir. It's not a dildo, sir.
What is this, run on D's? All right, I'm taking it.
No, set it on fire right here.
But this is my father's jacket.
And this is
do
my
it.
Room.
Do you dare question authority?
I was under the impression that I wasn't allowed to ask questions, sir.
Burn the dildo in the jacket.
Yes, sir.
Bicklow?
Yeah.
We're going to have to do a cavity search.
All right, private,
I have
bend
a
over.
Why? No, why
no, no,
me?
Of your
no,
of your.
I understand
cavity,
how
sir.
These things go. Private, bend over.
No, sir. This is completely out of order.
Are you disobeying an order, private?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, this is a first. Good job. Now you know why I kept you on the team.
You mean I can finally join the poker games?
Yes.
I mean,
this was all a setup to make you part of the crew. Big American party.
Everybody disco dancing.
And scene.
Right, I like where that went. That was funny. I like that ending.
Steven and Michael get 3 points each. James gets 5 points. James gets a grand total of 8. Tying Michael's 8 and beating Steven's 4.
Oh, it's mind melded again in point values.
I thought you meant with what you were saying. I was like, no, you didn't.
No, wait. You guys have both already picked, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Steven's the winner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Steven's the picker. The grand He's
total,
not the winner.
With a grand total of 4 points, ignoring everybody else in the game, Steven is
just
the winner.
Just the way Bilka would have done it.
It's Bicklow.
Whatever. Refrigerator.
Hashtag callback.
All right.
Hashtag Thanksgiving 2.4.
I know what my pick is. I'm thankful that I won this, guys, even though I didn't win this. I'm still thankful.
We can all
anyways.
Be thankful that Steven won, I think.
All right. I have a couple of movies to run down, starting chronologically.
Wait, we're watching The Rundown?
The Rundown, no.
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson and John Williams
Scott.
What's
the Charlie Sheen movie where it's like a parody, action movie parody?
Wall Street.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Money Never Sleeps.
Oh, yeah, we already watched that one.
Dang it.
All right. Terminator, the original. Who has seen it?
I actually haven't.
That's where we're
James
starting.
Has not seen it.
Boom.
Believe it or not, I'm a huge sci-fi guy,
Michael
too.
And I have.
And it's kind of relevant. They just announced a reboot, which I'm pretty bummed about. I hate reboots, but they are rebooting it, so it's topical.
It's a reboot trilogy plus TV series.
Yes.
Really?
They're going all out on this.
My
thing.
Plan is to get us eventually to the TV series, which I have, that they did a couple years ago.
Are you planning on just pick by pick taking us through the entire Terminator franchise?
Pick one of three. No, not the entire Terminator franchise, just the ones I like.
Just the first two.
And the yeah. Sarah Connor monocle.
The Sarah Connor monocle. I can't see. John.
Just out of one eye. And I look classy as hell.
All right. So next week it's going to be Terminator, guys.
The classic Terminator.
Write us in your thoughts about Terminator. That's FUARock@gmail.com or tweet us at FUARockPodcast.
But Steven, pick is over. We still have another week until the new year. What are we going to be doing
That's
with that?
That's right. I don't know. The rest of us don't know.
I
know.
We know. Maybe, I just show up here.
Maybe y'all, the audience, knows. So here's what we're doing. So for this entire month, for this entire month on the YouTube channel, we've been getting audience picks for tutorials for this 1 week. At the end of the year, you guys are picking the movie just to be in the same spirit of a very hyperdrive holiday. So send in your picks. Give us a movie or a TV show you want us to review, something, your favorite movie, just what your favorite movie or show is. And we're going to pick from all the submissions which one we're going to do. And this current podcast comes out, what, the 17th? No, the 10th, right?
This one comes out the 10th.
So you have until the 17th to send that in, and you can send that into the email, which is, again, FUARock@gmail.com. Tweet us at FUARockPodcast, or you can leave it on the Hyperdrive Pictures Facebook page. That's facebook.com/hyperdrivepics. Leave them there. And okay, this comes out the 17th. Well,
Casablanca came out the 10th.
Casablanca came out last. That's right.
You know what? From the future.
Just get it. Just send them in. Just send them in. You have
We'll see them.
Just send them in. We'll figure out deadlines later. Send them in as soon as possible, though, because the window is short.
So are we saying that they have today only to send in submissions?
Hey, dude, you're probably already listening on your computer. Just type it in, man.
Look, we'll just call this like the honorary announcement, but we're probably going to just hype this thing up on Facebook for the
Facebook,
last few
it's
weeks.
Probably been on Facebook a while.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's just so stupid.
Why aren't you on Hyperdrive Facebook? Come on, guys.
Like right now.
It's not that hard.
All the cool kids are doing it. But yeah.
It's not that hard. It's just a few clicks. Everyone is doing it.
Pick Jurassic Park. None of us have seen it. We've all seen it. We've all seen it. We've all seen it.
If you picked it, we'd have to watch it.
We would love to see it again.
We've all seen it. I love it. We'll watch Jurassic Park. Shirt.
Oh, guys, please let us watch Jurassic Park.
Pick Jurassic Park.
Pick Jurassic Park in 3D.
There's a Tyrannosaurus.
Jurassic Park.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed my light airy submission of Sergeant Bilko. My next pick will be the Russian sci-fi epic Solaris, so get ready for that.
Will it really?
Maybe not, but I would actually love to pick that at some point.
My next pick will be the Human Centipede first sequence.
No.
I've seen it.
No.
We've
all seen
you
it.
You guys need to all see it. Yeah.
If we all see it before he officially picks it, we don't have to watch it, but then we'll have also seen it.
I love that your defense
it's like ripping off a Band-Aid as opposed to just like taking it off bit by bit.
But both Band-Aid methods take the exact same amount of time.
How about a Serbian film? Have we all seen that?
No, but I read about it today.
Serbian films.
Today, really?
I read about it today. I read an article that was like 20 films that are good, but you will never want to watch more than once. And that was on there.
I don't even want to watch it once, actually. I've just read about it.
Yeah, it was basically all just things about, like, graphic torture and, like, horrible, horrible stuff.
So thanks for tuning in to another
Happy Thanksgiving 2.4.
From Under a Rock. Let's go around the table one last time for a final roll call.
I'm James McDoodles.
I'm Steven Zarita.
I'm Michael Ornelas.
And I'm Ryan Evans.
And I'm Major Thorne.
And I'm Private Dangles.
And this has been From Under a Rock.
Oh, shit. That was a text.